And now we have somebody up here, most of you know, if you don't know him, this is State Representative Julio Rubiner, who has done a lot for homeowners and condo owners in this state. I give you Julio.
If I can, let me comment on what the state has done with insurance. And it's nice to wear another hat here tonight and talk about another issue. The issue of mitigation, as you know, we have allocated for 2 years in the neighborhood of $250 million. The unfortunate part of it, that none of it applies to condominiums. There is no mitigation dollars to the state's My Safe Florida program. And there, of course, there's no money there for businesses. I think that if a group like yourself started to do what you do best, which is to try to lobby to have the legislative body include condominiums into the consideration for mitigation dollars, I would start doing it now, and I would start considering it, because the future of Florida is about mitigation and hardening and protecting your investment. Again, we will continue to put money, even in this year where we're strapped for money in our budget, there is a commitment to continue to put money into this mitigation program. But again, please, this is where I need you to get involved and to talk to the legislators and ask them to please include condominiums and businesses. A couple other things that I heard, some of the things that we did at the state level to help you with the issue of insurance. Of course, you've got the private sector. We all know about your large insurance companies. You have the state insurance company, which is Citizens Insurance, and you know that their rates are not the greatest rates either, but they're somewhat competitive. But then what we did this year, I worked on this legislation. It created two new avenues, and I think the experts that you had here talking about insurance did a very good job of explaining it to you. If I were on a board, or if I were a unit owner, what I would be looking at is these two new opportunities that the state has given you. One is, very simple, you've always had this option, but we've now made it much easier to self-insure. Self-insure. You may like it, you may not, but I think it's a very viable option that you need to look at, because in the long run, you control basically what you want to put into a pot of money, and you guys decide what you put into it, and there's a process that we can walk you through with the help of the state to help you with a self-insured type policy. Second, something that's become very popular. I believe Continental Property Management Company has already started to enact it for some of its condominiums that it represents, and that is basically bundled services. Has anyone heard about bundling insurance packages with other condominiums? And I will tell you, and by the way, first of all, let me start by apologizing, because I got really lost trying to find this place, but I think I found condo heaven here in this area. I have never seen such a concentration of condominiums in one place. But that said, this is what we pictured in Tallahassee when we talked about what do we do for bundled services. Well, this would be a perfect place where different buildings with different associations can all come together, pull their money, and help go through buying what we call bundled large amounts of insurance. There are several companies now that are doing that. They're specializing and what we call bundled insurance, and that may help you get a lower premium. The numbers that we got from the industry that approached us to do this for you was in the neighborhood of 30 to probably 35% reduction in your insurance premiums. And last question, somebody said, well, whatever you do to mitigate, does everyone understand what we mean by mitigate? That means put up shutters, secure your buildings. And by the way, that's going to be the future of insurance in Florida. We're going from a mindset in Florida, because I also happen to work with the insurance issues in Tallahassee. We're going away from the idea of insuring the geography, and we're going to start insuring the risk. Does everyone understand that? What do I mean by that is, well, you know, well, you're on that side of the road, you pay more. You're close to the water, you pay more. The future of Florida is they're going to create a scale, and there will be a scale, and you will be given a number. You're either a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and depending on where you fall, that's where the brackets that you'll fall in, and you'll see what kind of rate you're looking at. And that's going to fall where you fall in that category depending on how well you secure your building. So you have to be doing everything that you can. I know it's going to be a sacrifice. There'll be special assessments probably to be incurred, probably additional maintenance fees, but you must secure these buildings, because that is the way that insurance will be in the future in the state of Florida. We meet with the industry all the time, and they tell us, you know what, unless people start doing their thing and start securing their facilities or their homes or these condominiums, we're not going to want to come in here unless they're doing their side. And that's why the state is putting $250 million into these programs, which again, and I'll be quiet after this, you need to really lobby to make condo units also part of that consideration of the $250 million that we put into the pot. I'm open for questions. I just wanted to comment quickly on this. You are the chairman here, sir. Do you want to have an opportunity to ask a question? Matt, you have a question? Can you stand up so we can hear you? Okay, that's okay. And let me tell you, we're going to do that. I think that when we're finishing up here is the issue of insurance, but we're going to get into that because, as you know, and I'm not here in that capacity tonight, I'm actually chairing a committee that's looking into the future of what happens in condos and homeowner associations in the state of Florida.
What do we do to get that our lives done?
If when they're ready to go there, and I'm sure they're going to address it tonight, we'll do it. Please just stay for a few more minutes, and we'll get into some of those things, if of course you'd like me to, Jan. But let's finish up. Does anybody have any other issues about insurance, ma'am?
Well, this goes along with insurance and goes with homeowners associations. It's everything that you talked about. But to answer that lady over there, I am on the board of Plato, and I can't agree with you more. Because I tell you, with everyone on the board, I am for the people. I was elected by the people to work for the people, and that's what the board should do. I'm not running this year, so I don't need to. The way that you can prevent these abuses, the way that you can help with your insurance, the way you can help with all of this, is to get involved.
Community. Get involved.
Get
absolutely.
Involved. Vote. Yes, we've got an election coming up in February. And when you talk about this one, passed me up. Prevent, let's see here. Detect and block rigged elections.
Okay, ma'am, let me interrupt you. I don't want to take control of the meeting, but the bottom line is we'll get into, let's get done with insurance. Are we done with insurance? Because we'll talk about that, how you do recalls and what you need to do, which is what I listen to these horror stories every day, and our ombudsman listens to it, and I'm sure Jan gets his share of what you do to get back your community, and we're gonna spend a little time on it. And we're going to talk about that. Accountability is my issue. But let me tell you, we're going to talk about it all, and I think that you'll see that if you're involved, you know what you're doing, you understand your bylaws, and you take the time to get involved, you're going to realize that we can also help you in getting there. Let me finish with insurance. Hang in there, please. Insurance, ma'am? Yes, ma'am.
I don't own a condo. I own a single home.
Single family home.
Right, in an HOA, and that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Now, what about? If you
can
bundle condo insurance, why can't you bundle in the life? Okay. Her question is, can we bundle homeowner association insurance? Ma'am? Well, not homeowners association. Single. Isn't the home in a homeowner's organization? You mean all the homes within a homeowner association?
It's an idea. I haven't heard it before. It has not been addressed. There's nothing to prevent us from discussing it and talking to people that are experts that can tell us this can be done or this cannot be done. You would, the best thing to do is just email me those type of recommendations, and I will present it to the insurance industry and the committee that handles a lot of the insurance issues. Man, that's a great idea, and that I've never heard that. Let me tell you something. Great ideas come from simple people that never think that I'm being heard, but very simple people. You know what I mean by simple people? I mean people that normally don't get involved and don't wear an elected hat. That's the word, not political people. How's that? Thank you. That's a better word. Yes, ma'am. So what you're telling us is you'd like to look at legislation to lower the percentage of majority needed in a community to be able to deal with that issue of mitigation. Is that correct?
70% is difficult.
Again, these are ideas that we would like to address. I don't have that answer. And remember, we just started our meeting, so I'm meaning our series of hearings that we're having.
Here is a very helpful hint. Many, many, you know, zip codes. An example in Raleigh, Hollywood, that goes all the way up to Cooper City, where I live. Cooper City does not have the same risk that oceanfront in Hollywood.
Are we talking about insurance again? Okay.
So what you can do, and people in Cooper City are doing this, they are going to your insurance company and showing them that they are of a lesser risk and you're getting rejections in your insurance.
Okay, that's all. Can everybody hear what she's saying? She's talking about different zip codes and how the rates differ from different zip codes. Go back to what I'm trying to say. Remember what this little catchy little saying I'm putting out there. We will eventually transition out of insuring the geography and go to insuring the risk destruction. That's where we're going in the insurance world. And by the way, it's not just in Florida. This is the mindset of corporate America that is in the insurance industry. You're going to have to do your part because, honestly, the way that they used to insure with the geography, it made sense when they were able to calculate and they do these 100-year predictions and they do all kinds of other... They have data where they've based it. But the mindset from the people that I work with, which are the people from State Farm, Allstate, and a lot of some of the larger other companies in the state of Florida, is the future of insurance will be based on what you did to insure the risk. And depending on how much you do, then that will be a category that you'll fall under. So, ma'am, hopefully real soon, those addresses or zip codes will not apply. One thing that I always will apply, because let me be very honest, of course, if you're on coastal areas, that's a whole other world. If you decide to live in a coastal area on the water, you're asking for the multiple, what you consider the highest risk, and that I'm sure will be addressed in a whole different fashion. Insurance?
Yes. Where do you live?
I live in Miami-Dade County. And just for the record, I own two condominiums in Tallahassee, and I'm going through hell with those offices. I want you to know.
That's what I have to tell you, because when Wilma came, it came from the west. And I live on the beach, on the barrier island, and we didn't have as much problem as the people out west.
The greatest catastrophic chance I've built in the insurance industry is always from the storm that comes off the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this was a very bad one.
Yeah. Let's finish up with this so we can go into the other subjects that are very important. Now, remember, coastal areas, I'm always very honest with you. You may not like what I've got to tell you, but this is the way it is. If you live on a barrier island and you live oceanfront, remember that you're always going to pay more because your risk is very high, even when you mitigate. When you put up, you can build a wall around your community, you're still going to be at a higher risk than an average person who's off from the shoreline or so forth.
My condominium is 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in 2005, all of a sudden we got a board that we have to do concrete restoration. Okay?
Go ahead.
That is terrible. Well, anyway, people who weren't prepared, who were not, I mean, a waitress and a real estate person, made this contract for $1,300,000. It was very sad. But then we had Wilma. A good thing we didn't start. But we did do the roof. Okay? After Wilma, mm-hmm. you assessed for the roof.
Right.
And then all of a sudden after that, when all the contractors were so busy, their prices were so high, and then we started this concrete restoration. Now, the building organization is I mean, it's less, you know, people working. So now they'll give you a better price.
Right.
Sure.
Now we have these glasses, the glass, the sliding, the hurricane glass. It has to be a certain for impact.
Yes,
so now we didn't have to have shutters. Now you're talking bringing shutters back. I gave up my electric shutters.
Real quick, unfortunately, right after a storm, it's your responsibility to secure the building as quickly as you can to prevent additional damage. But, ma'am, remember that we also passed some legislation, the South Florida building codes, or they say the building codes now are uniform across the state of Florida. So everybody, even in those areas where they've had a break before, in the northern part of Florida, now has to go to our standards pretty much. So we have tried to make it uniform. And that will hopefully help deal with the problems. But, ma'am, I understand, and price gouging goes on right after a storm. If you want to be the first one, you're going to pay a prime dollar. I would always ask for transparency. Let me see what you're doing. Show me the bids. Ask for as many bids as you can and then go from there. Please, the worst thing that could happen is be so anxious to jump on the first bid. But then again, it's like catch-22. You need to try to secure the building as soon as possible to keep additional damage from happening in the mold and everything else that comes in. So, does anyone have any more insurance questions before we go to this point? Ma'am, insurance?
Yeah, this team up at our building, and it kind of goes along with what she was talking about, and the hurricane impact, you live in Miami-Dade.
Yes, ma'am.
In a condo.
No, ma'am.
A condo.
No, go. I live in a home, but I have condos
okay.
And actually go
in the Miami-Dade code for those windows are all over, right? Would we have to live under them?
Yes.
Now, what came up in our meeting, and we had a lot of discussion on it, if people put those hurricane windows according to code 5 years ago, they had all these windows put in our building. Now, the code has changed a little bit. Do they have to change those windows because they aren't up to code again?
The way that I understand it, if you have hurricane-resistant windows and you're up to par, you don't have to retrofit.
What if they're not up to code?
Ma'am, if they're not up to code, then you do, and you do have to. You just remember, you're telling me one thing, and you're telling me you're not within code. If you're not within
code.
Okay, but hear me out. There's a thing called the grandfather clause for some situations, and you may fall under the grandfather clause. What I would tell you to do, instead of giving you a general answer, I'd have to look at each individual case and see what you got, and see if you have what currently the code says you need to protect yourself. And by the way, the codes are there, not to make your life miserable, but this is tested information that we have to make sure that you have the proper, let's just say need and security. God forbid you spent all this money and then you get destroyed during a storm. Jan, you want to go ahead and just...
Is there anything as homeowners that we can do to force our boards as to what type and the amount of insurance? I know it's covered generally, but our board will not take any input from the homeowners. Is there any way as homeowners that we can...
Yeah,
we all can answer
that. It's easy to do, and it doesn't work because the land regulations are very bad.
It sounds easy.
No. See, I'm working on that 3-4 times a week. I help people with doing recalls. It works like a charm. It may take a little while, but it works. And the thing is, we have the apathy of the people, but they come forward after the losses. Then it's too late. You can't repair it anymore. If you feel something is wrong and your board doesn't play along, you have ways to get rid of them. But you have to convince your neighbors, and you have to work on it. Most people just sit there and say, oh, there's nothing we can do. And, oh, this is it. Yes, you can. And I'm sorry to say we need to go on, otherwise we're not getting with our
one more.
We'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
There's one more.
One more.
I just want to, ma'am, people call me up with lots of problems. Okay, and I talk to them. Here's the problem. If you're by yourself, you're screwed. That's a lawyer's term, and if you need somebody to explain them, do it outside, all right? If you're by yourself, it doesn't matter what the issue is. And so you need to do what Geneva did and what many other people, including all of you, are doing here, which is you need to get allies. Now, in a condo, at least, people live sort of near to each other. What I tell people when they say, well, can I just hire you to read the documents? And I say, sure, you can hire me. And it's $500 just to come in, if you come in, because then I have to wreck my day. But if you talk to me on the phone, I choose when to talk to you. Okay? So, well, seriously, because if you're working, you don't want to be interrupted. So I call people back. And this is what I say. You can spend $500 on me. At the end of that time, I will tell you the same thing I'm telling you now. By yourself, you're screwed. Unless you happen to be Geneva, and she wasn't by herself, and you have a whole lot of money. I mean, she had 200 people at these demonstrations. It's way better to take that $500 in a homeowner association and have, in Texas, barbecue, and get your neighbors to come out and talk with them. Everybody feels the same way about insurance. We need to be protected. And if the board isn't listening, take your barbecue the next time to the board meeting and say, we're going to be here.
Last insurance question in the back there, and then we'll go. But Matt, my short answer to that question is they're in charge. If you don't want them there, you need to recall them, and you'll take control.
Well, that's my next step. I just was wondering if there was anything.
Ma'am, last question on insurance, and then we're going to go into, I'm sure, a lot of the topics that are very interesting to several people here this evening. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, your question? Matt, could you stand? I can't hear you. Question better than I can. Thank you. Thank you.
14 inches instead of every 4. It's going to come right off.
Correct.
So it's up to the inspectors from the city.
Correct.
Correct.
That's why you need somebody that's licensed, bonded, insured, knows what they're doing, and make sure that that's who your board hires, not somebody's friend who said that they can do the shutters.
Right.
Okay. Get the right people to do the job.
Okay. Well, we may come back to it later, but we need to go on with the program. I apologize. I don't want to cut anybody off, but that's it. For a change, we will hear now from some very nice ladies. They have a profession not every one of you likes very much. They're all attorneys. But they have they're a little different than most of the other attorneys. They're trying to help homeowners. And they're trying to help condo owners because it is, or minimum a few years ago, it was very, very difficult, even if you had money here, to find an attorney who was willing to fight for your rights. Because the big law firms, they represent the association board, and even if they take your case, they may not be too eager to win that case because it may go against an association board they represent in the next place. So let's start with Inga Garcia. Inga is known as the Goldmark condo lawyer, and she will tell us a little bit what she is going on.
Hello guys, thanks for coming tonight. We're all here together because we all have the same problem. We all want our life back. And the first thing we need to do is to stand up together as we are and keep fighting. Keep speaking, keep making sure everybody knows our opinions, especially our representatives who can make changes for us. Because one of the main things we really need to do is rewrite the laws.
Because our problem is that our board controls our life. And no matter how hard we fight until we take over the board and the control, we're going to keep fighting. Now, I know the simple result or the simple suggestion everybody tells me when I have a fight for a union owner is, well, recall your board. Like, it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to recall today, and I'm very happy. And Dean is here. And we got a board recall, and we had to fight like a song to get it done. But Earl gave us our result today in time for tonight, so I can tell everybody that don't stop. They're all there to help us. The DPPR is working for us, the attorneys are working for us, and the individuals keep standing up. It's not the key people here tonight who are fighting for us. John Bergman, thank you so much. What are you doing? The four of them make the rest of the nation give us, and the support, we all appreciate it. Julio, who's been working so hard for years and years and years to fight the corruption, the fraud, the financial lack of disclosure. We are behind him in his pilot program right now. We have our committee meetings and we have subpoena power. And finally, we're going to make some changes that we've been fighting. I'm an ex-prosecutor. I used to prosecute for Janet Reno. I've been litigating for almost 20 years. And I live in Ottawa. And mark my words, I know exactly what you're going through when you change the rules so they didn't let my dog or my garbage can was too far to the side. You know, no notice of what's going on at the board meetings, tripling our assessment within a year. It was crazy. You know, I'd like to introduce everybody to the gentleman standing in the back, Attorney Steve Rossi. Steve Rossi is an ex-FBI agent, criminal attorney, who is jumping in to help fight with corruption. He and Julio are going to be key in us getting people to listen, starting criminal prosecutions, getting the police to actually take it seriously and make changes in our lives so we can stop the, you know, criminal activities. Civil activities, board. It's time for us to change the laws to give the unit owners more rights. The unit owners have a right, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to a special assessment, to know. If I'm going to spend $35,000 this month to repair my windows or to fix my pool or change my balconies and do concrete restoration, I want to say so in this. I want to see the bids. I want to know what's going on. I want to check out these contractors. I want to be able to know. If it was my own home, I would say, you know what? I want to talk to these contractors. I want to see what the contract is. I want to see the specifications from a threshold engineer. I want to understand where my money's going and have some type of knowledge of what's going on. I don't want to be foreclosed on next month for a $35,000 assessment for a concrete restoration company that's going to come in and rip out my windows and change my balconies and modify my building. And the board does it with no unit owner having any idea what's going on. I mean, it's crazy. We got a temporary injunction. Valerie Austin here in Chateau Mar, another key case. The judge gave us a temporary injunction to stop the concrete restoration company from coming in. Using an engineer that wasn't a threshold licensed engineer with specs that nobody saw, the contracts nobody can see. They hid the contract from us until after the hearing. And we finally got a copy of the contract to see they signed it at the time of the hearing. And the judge said, come in, show me what's going on. The judges are now standing up. The judges are listening. The DPPR is listening. The legislature is here and helped us make the changes. We're getting a busload of us together to vote for Tallahassee, or I mean, we're going to all these meetings. We're going to help them rewrite these laws. We look forward to your input. Anything you guys see, right now too, over here at Lenny, South Point condo, windows. I had 7 arbitrations going on with window issues. Who pays it? Who owns the windows? What did the change from 2004 do? How do you insure it? When is it insurable interest? When is it assessed? I mean, it's crazy. And then the fraud and the games they're playing, the shenanigans, as I call it, are ridiculous. So hopefully we'll win all these different cases. Now, what I'd like to do is ask a couple of you owners, if you have to summarize in one word what's going on in your association, what word would you use?
We are both here, Brian and myself. He's the president of the board and I'm the vice president. And we are trying to do exactly what everybody wants for our homes. We're trying to secure the building. We're trying to show everybody what kind of leads we have. Not every board is a hard one. Okay, we are, some of us are okay.
Education is one thing. Education, we need to teach. A lot of my clients are actually the minority board members. Sandra from Renaissance. How would you describe your condo? What word would you use to describe what's going on in your condominium?
I would say they won't just pass the bylaws. And that's the question that I have for the What can you do to force the board members to follow the bylaws? They are violating the bylaws.
Let me quickly address that. We can pass all the laws in the world, but until there's enforcement, nothing's going to get done. And that's what we're working on, is enforcement. We want a DDPR that does their job. And I actually have an idea on how to completely restructure DDPR, which if anybody ever wants to ask for my opinion, I'll tell you what it is. And I think that they're, right now, they do need some restructuring. They need to investigate issues like you investigate Medicaid and Medicare fraud. They need to get out of the office, they need to go outside, and they have to spend a day or two there requesting records and looking at everything. That's the way they should be doing these investigations, not pushing paperwork and sending warning letters. That's always been my issue. But all that said, enforcement. Fraud. Ingrid brings up fraud. You know, we're doing a pilot program. By the way, kudos to Broward. You guys, we got more, probably, in my opinion, problems a day than Broward. But Broward is leading the pack with over 5 arrests already. And fraud. And some of these people are your next door neighbors that you talk about. What a nice individual. Yeah, nice that you found out they were stealing thousands of dollars from you and using it for personal use. So we're going to continue on the issue of fraud. As a matter of fact, Bill's here from the Ombudsman's office. He's getting ready to teach a class on so many new officers that are going to be going to training. And by the way, it's our, when I say our, in this case, it's the state's responsibility that the goal would be that every law enforcement officer can eventually be trained to understand that this is, that fraud, Ingrid, is not a civil matter. It's a crime, and it needs to be investigated as a crime. And they don't need to tell you every time there's a possible crime, oh, file a lawsuit. That needs to be your local police department and your state attorney's office looking into that. And even on these allegations that we're getting about possible mafia involved in these condominiums, well, the attorney general of the state of Florida needs to get involved. So we're listening. But remember, we're going at a slow pace. I invite you all to come to our meeting. It's no longer just one. We have 9 members of our board. And by the way, guess what? They're no longer just legislators from South Florida. I've got them from the panhandle. They're realizing that the same problems we're having in Dade County, it's happening all around the entire state of Florida. This problem's happening. And again, sir, last comment. I will tell you that when a board is good and you got good, honest people that have integrity and want to create transparency, God bless them. It works great. You know that. And you have good board members. But a lot of times, what happens when they go astray, or what happens when the rest of them don't know and only one knows is running the show, or more importantly, you do have people, very honestly, that are committing fraud every single day, and their intention is just to do that, make money off of this. He's the chair. You got to run it through him.
Okay. Monica has a question. She tries eagerly since about 10 minutes to wave her hand, so it's her turn.
I don't live in Florida. Actually, I do have family and friends that live here. But I want you to understand that when you get to Tallahassee, I just came back from my 11th year in a row at the Community Association Law Institute seminar with 506 lawyers in attendance, and I was the only little homeowner advocate. And actually, they thought I was a lawyer for the last couple of years, as it turned out. It was just watching them do and say what they do, and I've learned so much. But what I think is really important, and I swore I wasn't going to speak, I would have walked barefoot out of the snowstorm in Illinois yesterday to talk to Louis Nett personally. He's the first and only legislator that I've ever met that's doing the job anywhere in the United States. So before I lose track of this thought, I want you to know that their plan is to lobby the legislature, and we're talking about, I heard cases of six-figure special assessments that are becoming more commonplace that the board, we're not talking about $70,000 or $35,000, we're talking about $170,000 that the property owners don't really have a say in. But what I want you to know is that their plan is to come to the legislatures, and in the year 2020, and I was the one that raised my hand and said, what about the United States Constitution and the Contracts Clause? Their plan is to lobby the legislatures in the United States to allow statutory requirements to make homeowners pay whatever the board deems is necessary for any kind of project. So you need to be aware of the fact that while we are all lobbying very hard and we don't have anything going on in Illinois, I came here because I know several of these people and I've met them before, and I traveled to Newark to some of the conferences. But what it says about the legislative update in this year's Community Association Law Seminar is something I was going to share privately with you. And it says, increasingly, disgruntled homeowners are taking their issues directly to their legislators. In response, a raft of legislative fixes, quote, have been proposed to right the perceived wrongs and shortcomings of association governance. There's a whole lot of other things I'd like to read. I'd really like to give you a copy of this. You'd be probably surprised. But what I want you to know is they already know that we're here. There were several comments made during the Community Association Seminar in Las Vegas about this big rally in Florida. And I'm sitting there looking at my plane ticket going, uh-oh. And there were several lawyers, and they made special references to Jan's program and the CCFJ website and all of us using the new media to get our message across and to contact our legislators. They spoke about Shoe Program. They spoke, I'm almost 100% positive, about B's website, HOA Data. I really think that you need to educate yourselves, I didn't know what you were called before. Those that are just a little older than myself, I'm a baby boomer, my husband's 13 years older. You're called the silent generation, unlike Generation X, and now our children that are in the 20s aren't Generation Y. I'm really proud of all of you that you're not the silent generation that they said you were. You might not be baby boomers, but they didn't know that I've been sitting there for the last 11 years. And I have to say, with all my heart, that I'm 100% confident that there is someone in this room tonight that is watching and listening to every single thing you say. And I just want to say thank you for starting something, because I want to take all this back. And David's here from Texas, I'm from Illinois, Shu's from Washington, D.C. area. We really do need to think globally and act globally, but our goal, if I could carry on in this legacy, is to do something for homeworkers on a national basis, so we'll have all of our elders protected, because there isn't anybody out there that's taking care of anyone. So we need to focus on what. Thank you. In closing, Peter Kavanaugh, happy birthday. He came and spent his birthday with us. You guys, keep up the fight. When you're 40, you know how to reach us. Thank you.
Can you, Chef? I wanted to answer your question. I heard when you said one word, and I heard a lot of them use the word fraud. And I am sure, from having read many stories from Jan, that fraud is a big problem. There is a, I think, bigger problem that ends up leading to fraud, and that is arrogance. If I could pick one word that is uniformly the root of the problem, then fraud comes whenever you have people who think that when there's a big budget and they think they can get away with it, they steal. They steal from the PTA. They're certainly going to steal from the Congress. So, but I think a big piece of the problem is arrogance. And I have a suggestion. I have, tonight's my first night meeting Louis, but pleasure. It's a wonderful reputation.
Thank you, sir.
When you say educate every local police department, I'm concerned. But I don't know about you in Florida, but we don't got enough cops on the beat in Texas to do the basic cop jobs, and they aren't going to be forensic investigators. But I think that one of the advantages we have in condos is a whole bunch of smart people who, if they could get the basic information, would do this work largely for free. And what I think could very legitimately be required, even through a fairly passive ombudsperson office, is annual reports with effective communication. Now, I know a gazillion associations, and they publish their audit, and you can't tell a damn thing from it. Yes, it shows that they got the receipts, and it shows that they spent the money. But it won't tell you what you need to know. And I'm not a financial wizard, although one of my clients who's here tonight is. But I think that it would be important to develop what is the critical information we need. And if it isn't published on the website, which would be the best, have it be filed so that an owner could get in from the state. I'll tell you, we made one legislative proposal for homeowner associations in Texas, and it freaked everybody out. We proposed that they be required to report how many lawsuits they filed and how many lawsuits were filed against each homeowners association. This is growing out of the work that Beanie did, tracking some associations sue 10% of their homeowners. The lawyers on the other side went berserk. They live under rocks. If you expose them to sunlight, it's over. And the problem is, it's difficult. If you can get a clear set of requirements, you guys got these comments have huge budgets. You can afford to have a decent audit every year. And if what the insurance money is going for, you would have requirements that for capital projects exceeding $100,000, I don't know what's practical, that you got to file the documents stamped by a PE. That's not hard. You ought to have the documents stamped by a PE. Why shouldn't they be available to the homeowners? And those are not, I'm not talking about presuming anyone is bad. I'm just saying it's there, and the smart homeowners, the caring homeowners, will do the legwork. They will then refer to your AG or to your, I would like to have a special crimes unit, not your regular cop on the beat.
So that's what we're having. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Inga. It was very nice. Next, we have an attorney from Boca Raton. Chandra tries the same in a different way, but she will talk to you and tell you what's dear to her heart. She is with us while fighting for the homeowners. Please welcome Chandra.
Actually, they got one in my mind. I want to echo, and since I think I'm one of the final speakers, I want to echo some of the things that have already been said tonight. But I have to take a slightly different approach and step back. And from my standpoint, the DPDR is not answering for the homeowners. I am seeing repeatedly the DPR is taking too long to respond,
absolutely.
And when they do respond,
absolutely.
They say, this isn't our responsibility. The DPDR right now, when they push the statute, they don't have any professional associations or your conduct documents. The DPDR actually has no authority over homeowners associations right now.
Correct.
At this point, it's one of the proposals that's pending.
Right.
And it's you guys that are going to make the difference if you get out there and advise your legislators that this is something that you want to encourage so there's some supervision out there. I applaud all of you for getting up here Friday night, and I hope you'll give up part of your Saturday afternoon tomorrow. But those of you who came out, I think it's because you're concerned about what's going on and how it's affecting you. On an individual basis, as I have to echo, on an individual basis, you're not going to make a difference. But once you have this information, go back and talk to your neighbors. Share what you've learned. Talk to your board members. They might actually listen. Maybe they just... No, hear me out. Hear me out, because I don't think that board members are inherently evil. I think they're uneducated and arrogant.
That's
what we are. They're arrogant. And some of them don't know. They're listening to their condo association managers. They're listening to their attorneys who've always done it this way. Or you have the guy who's been there for 20 years and said, we never had to do it this way before. Why do we have to listen to you now? because the statutes have changed, because the homeowners are making a difference and they're getting out there and making their voices heard, and they're challenging some of these decisions that are being made behind closed doors. So the disclosure is the key aspect. I have been to, in the past 2 weeks, I have been to 4 different rallies or association membership issues. I went to a CAI event, as she did. I didn't go to the national one. But the word that's coming out of those types of meetings is quite disturbing for you as homeowners, because those things are run by attorneys who represent the associations. As unit owners, my concern is that, number one, you can't talk directly to that insurance agent. You're not privy. You're paying for that policy, but you're not entitled to talk to them.
The board is.
You're not entitled to talk to lawyers. Many associations have rules that you can't contact the community association manager directly, that they only respond to board members. As unit owners, unless you have privity and an opportunity to talk to the people who are actually making the decisions, then you're not going to get anywhere. Obtain documentation from your own association should be a simple process.
Ooh, yes.
Guys, this one they have the rules on.
That's not.
The problem is, it's a maximum of, if we don't give it to you after 10 days, the most it can cost us is $500. We're not worried about the repercussions. If we can stall you from receiving that contract that Inger needed to see until after the hearing, they won already. Their point, and in fact, I heard specifically on the panel last week, the GPDR told all the people who were present that you have the right to inspect. You are not authorized to photocopy those records. From the panel.
Yeah, but that was wrong information.
I'm aware of that. This is your GPDR. He was there on the panel.
The right to inspect,
the right
to copy.
It doesn't do you any good.
You have the right to copy.
You absolutely have the right to copy. There's decisions out there. But if your GDPR is publicizing information that is inaccurate, and they're investigating things and relaying information that doesn't follow the statutes.
Can I interrupt you for
absolutely.
One second? Let me just interrupt you for 1 second. I am supposed to be... Here we go. I am supposed to be a neutral party. And I try to be neutral on listening to all sides, but when it comes to DBPR, I've been the biggest outspoken critic of DBPR. And let me tell you why. This, anybody wants to record it, because you never know who's at these meetings, but I am consistent at being a critic of DBPR. The individuals that I work with, they're great individuals, but you know what? The job is not being done. You pay taxes. You each all pay $4 in taxes. May not sound like much, but it equates to over $8 million in the trust fund. You're paying to be proper. This is just condominiums. You're paying to be properly safeguarded and regulated, and it's not being done. So that being said, believe me that I have a lot of ideas, and I think that you can help us continue to push. Someday somebody's going to ask, what's your perfect, scenario? Will be a DBPR with very few people in a call center, and the people that will, when due process has been done and you can prove that there is possibly some, as we've said here, shenanigans going on, or there's no transparency, that they assign a case to an investigator, and that person come out, and you have to spend a day or two looking at everything with subpoena power. With subpoena power, because the problem is, as you said, getting access to records. That's half of the cases that we're listening to, is getting access to records. I'm having to subpoena people to give you records that you requested a long time ago. So if we could get DBPR restructured with subpoena power, or the ombudsman's office with subpoena power, whatever it takes to get it done, and we're able to do a real investigation, it goes back to enforcement. We've got to have real enforcement. And I think those are the problems with DBPR.
Before I go on, he mentioned two different things. One is the education system. The problem that I see with the education system is the people that are conducting the education system are primarily the same people who are conducting the lobbying against the homeowners.
Good point.
And my concern with that, as I said, look, I'm Switzerland. I attend both events. I want education from both sides. So I attended CAI to hear what they had to say. Believe me, you're going to be shocked. I was going to tell you this privately, but since we have the audience here.
They have a right to know everything.
Unfortunately, I attended a CAI meeting, and this was an endorsed meeting. I have to tell you that your committee was equivalent to a secret committee, and we were told that with your subpoena power that this is the era of McCarthyism all over again, and they're going to discontinue. They're going to affect your livelihood as a community association manager. You're not going to be able to continue to do business in this state.
And that is correct. That is their opinion of everything that I do. They claim that I and that this is going to make a problem.
No, Mr. Wilson, and I'm saying, no, he equated with Julio's subpoena power to the era of McCarthyism.
Yeah, and they do. And they think it's just wrong what we're trying to do. And remember, I'm trying to be a neutral party and give the benefit of the doubt to those good board members and so forth. But we have a right to listen and make changes. But going back to this situation, again, you got to understand that the other side, it's fair to say, those that say that everything is fine in condo world and HOA world will tell you that what you have is disgruntled people that don't want to live within the rules of an association. I hear that every single day. I don't agree with it because I've seen everything from fraud to, as we call it, executive legislating, which means they interpret the bylaws the way they want to interpret it. And then again, the state doesn't do anything to enforce it. We got major problems here, but back to education. If it were up to me, we would offer free education since you pay us so much money and provide classes like Bill's trying to do at a community college and make those classes available for everyone. I'd like to mandate it for board members so they know what they're doing. Okay? And that's one of the things you're going to see this year, that we're going to mandate training, but free. We don't want to charge anybody. We want to use your money that you already pay that creates an $8 million trust fund to create some classes. But we also would like to make it available to someone who's not on the board so that you can have a chance to get in there one time. Give up one day. Learn about what your rights are, how it is that that board is supposed to function, and then you become checks and balances for that particular board.
I think we have another problem that's related to what Julio just described, and that is this. The two gentlemen in front of me aside, many of us really have no interest in running other people's lives, and we don't really want to run the condo association. We know it has to be done, and we would like it done right, but we don't want to do it. And that's perfectly reasonable. We have other things that we want to do. And the question is, how can we make sure that the condo or the association is well run without having to devote our lives to oversight? And
that's where this
respectfully, I would say that training may not do very much at all. It helps people who care do a better job, and it helps people who don't care cover up better, figure out how to avoid traps that they might otherwise fall into. And so what I see when I look around this room are people who are willing to give up their Friday night, people who have spent years, people who have spent thousands or tens of thousands of dollars fighting on behalf of their neighbors. And what I'd like to see or think about is what can we do to make it easier? So if you have to figure out, okay, I need this contract, you're already behind because they've already signed the contract. If we need the contracts, what about a rule that says any contract is over $250,000?
Right, there you go.
I don't know what the cutoff is.
You can do that. Majority.
Okay.
The unit owners.
Should automatically be filed. The electronic storage costs nothing. And if things, if the information is out there, then you can look at it easily.
Okay, he's got
then you can get to
point.
Your lawyers, and the lawyers don't have to say, well, come back to me in 3 months when maybe you've got something. You can do it right away, and then you're really embarrassing the lawyer, because the lawyer doesn't really want to look at it. So. But if we can get the information out, the fact that people know they will be watched reduces the problems that will happen. If everybody knew what the contracts they signed would be watched, they would do less bad stuff. It won't eliminate it. But I think we need to find simple ways to get the information so you can monitor without spending your life doing it.
I'd like to add something to that. Actually, in another condo that we had on this program that Virgil knows about, because we are in the board of another
condo.
Whenever any project comes around, it's labeled maintenance, and that's it. It's shut down our throats. Millions of bucks, and nobody has even a chance to look at it, vote on it, or even examine it. I would say that, you know, the cutout would be $50,000. Anything above $50,000 has to be submitted to the vote.
Well, I think what she's referring to is that primarily you see, the only time you have an opportunity to know about your capital improvement projects is that one meeting is required to hold per year. If you get to vote on your budget, which not everybody does, you get your one annual meeting where you hold your election. Other than that, they don't have to tell you how much they're going to spend on capital improvements or maintenance. They just tack it on. And, in fact, they will tack it on in the form of a special assessment if they pass the budget and didn't get their special debt project approved at the time of the budget. There's numerous examples where the statutes that are in place require transparency and audits to be performed if you have income of a certain level. The problem in the last few years, in my opinion, is that the same condos, the ones that are 50 and below, 50 units and below, or have budgets of $100,000 or less of income, who never had to have any audits or certifications at all, those people are the same ones who are handling $4 million worth of insurance proceeds.
That's
correct. And they say, insurance in, insurance out, that's all you get to know. You don't know where the repairs were done, you look around, you're still saying the place is still a mess, now what?
And that is why there has to be some
standards. There has to be some standards. And the statutes don't provide for the fact that there is a possibility that these people will be handling a budget of more than what they applied for, of $100,000 of your money. And that comes along in special assessments. There is actually another type of project that I have, and that is that special assessments, to a large extent, are disguised budget changes. They are not necessary emergencies or over expenditures that they could not have necessarily predicted. They disguise them, bury them, and hide them, and then they call them maintenance, as you said, as opposed to capital improvements. So unless you guys get out there and make your unit owners aware of the fact that they're not allowed to do that, they're going to keep passing that stuff, and you're going to keep writing checks.
Can I ask a question? You've got an attorney, I believe you, Mr. Nathan, mentioned before that the state of Texas, your court judge, could not make a decision on the latest state of the patent. I believe on the probation session, we need to have some judge sitting down with you over there and listen to us for them to realize where we stand and how.
Let me just say real quick. I think that, remember, that we'll create the laws and the judges interpret it, but I know that there's a lot of judges in Florida that interpret this law and they don't even understand it themselves. Believe me, we know that firsthand because we actually, well, let's just say that we've had conversation with many people that sit on the bench, and it's very, very confusing. Look, just to, real quick for the record, I will tell you that there's times when me and Jan agree, and there's times when we don't agree on certain issues. But I think that we all agree that there has to be changes, and it's not just a couple of disgruntled people with problems. I think we seriously have problems. I just want to caution you on one issue, because I like to share with you all sides of the coin. In the situation where people say, well, make every decision of so much money set for approval of the majority unit owners, let me tell you the other side of that coin. What they tell you is, well, if you do that and you micromanage, then they're not going to be able to expedite.
On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.